This morning's reading comes from the first chapter of Ephesians, verses 15 to 23. I have heard of your faith in the Lord Jesus and your love toward all the saints, and for this reason I do not cease to give thanks for you as I remember you in my prayers. I pray that the God of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of glory, may give you a spirit of wisdom and revelations as you come to know him, so that, with the eyes of your heart enlightened, you may know what is the hope to which he has called you, what are the riches of his glorious inheritance among the saints, and what is the immeasurable greatness of his power for us who believe, according to the working of his great power. For God put this power to work in Christ when he raised him from the dead and seated him at his right hand in the heavenly places, for above all rule and authority and power and dominion, and above every name that is named, not only in this age, but also in the age to come. And he has put all things under his feet, and has made him the head over all things for the church, which is his body, the fullness of him who fills all in all. The word of God for the people of God.
There are a lot of different kinds of thank yous. I was kind of going over all the different ones that I could kind of think of this week. There's the sarcastic thank you. Say you go out to eat, or maybe you're at a table with a bunch of people, and there's always that one person that stands up and is like, hey, I'm going to go get something else to drink. Does anybody want anything? And they ask everybody around the table. They kind of leave you off, and they just sort of keep going. And you're like, thank you very much. There's the polite but kind of disingenuous thank you. Thank you. I really needed a fruitcake and tube socks for Christmas. It's exactly what I wanted. They kind of turn around and go out the door, and you're like, that's exactly what I wanted to throw in the garbage as soon as you leave, kind of thing. There's the written thank you. My family was really big on thank you notes. We had this one aunt that if you did not send her a thank you note, she would start like this family civil war over it. So out of all the thank you notes that we had to write on Christmas, my mother was always like, you wrote one to Aunt Lorraine, right? And I mean, like, this is like we're in college. And you're like, dear Aunt Lorraine, thank you for the $5 in the Christmas card. I will use that to buy half an appetizer when we go out tonight. There's all sorts of different kinds of thank yous. And I think during this week, we have lots of opportunities that people kind of call us to think about what are we thankful for. I'm interested this morning in when have we said thank you, or when have we kind of heard thank you? Who's the last person that y'all said thank you to? Anon? Yeah. Who was some of the others? Who's the last person? Your dad? Your wife? I think I said it to a cat this morning. Yeah, yeah. When's the last time somebody said thank you to you? You don't have to give like the situation, but when was the last time? This morning? Yeah. You know, it's one of those that sometimes it's so part of our culture, we kind of just help it kind of roll off sometimes. It's one of the first words that we kind of demand of children to sort of learn and kind of add to their vocabulary of being kind of well-rounded, good citizens in training. You know, you say thank you when somebody gives something to you. So it's sort of this thing that we've become very programmed to say, but it is an incredible moment of sacredness and trust that gets built between two people, that when we really think about what's going on there and how thank you can really bring people together, it really is an incredible moment. And we think about all these times that that we have said thank you or people have said thank you to us. But for some of us, what kind of stays in our mind a little bit more than that is the time where you did something and you didn't get a thank you. Yeah, y'all know what I'm talking about then, right? So let me paint you a picture. Driving down 65, maybe it's about 4 or 5 o'clock in the afternoon. It's bumper to bumper. And you kind of got like a little bit of space between you, and all of a sudden somebody kind of, you know how it goes, they start pulling their bumper in a little bit, they start trying to get in front of you, and you're having a generous moment. You're very relaxed, you're going on, and you're like, I'm going to let them over. So you kind of hang back a little bit, open up some space, they slide right in, and then you wait for it. Little hand wave, maybe hand out the window, you know, flash your brake lights at me, give me something, man. And sometimes when you don't get it, man, it sticks with you, doesn't it? You're like, man, I'm never going to let anyone else over ever again. That is it. Or maybe you see somebody carrying like a heavy box, sort of maybe coming into a couple doors. You kind of rush ahead real quick. You pull it open, and they just go right through. And you're like, all right. And then it makes things even worse because then a line of people materialize out of nowhere and you're just the door holding person. And it's like now they don't say thank you because they think you work there. You're like, I guess this is what I do. And it just keeps going on. When you miss a thank you, that's when you really notice kind of the weight that some of those moments, some of those exchanges can really have, right? A thank you is an incredibly sacred and holy thing. And so let me tell you some good news. Thank you can be something incredibly holy, because thank you always points us back to God, even if it's not acknowledged in the moment. It always points back to God, the giver of all good things. In our scripture reading this morning, we come to this letter from Paul to the church at Ephesus. And it's an incredible opening to a letter. It's a letter that was written to a church right before sort of this difficult time, right before this time of persecution, right before this time where there was going to be a lot of things trying to tear them apart and rip them apart. And it's funny because in those moments that we have as a church, we often get sort of consumed by fear or distractions, frustrations, disappointments. We look for those moments to hold on to that we can sort of notice that things are getting out of control. But Paul doesn't start his letter with sort of this warning of, hey, things are about to get really bad. He doesn't start with fear. He starts with thank you. And from chapter 1 all the way up until verse 14, he's giving thanks to God. Everything that God has done from them. He is unfolding sort of the story of God's creation and God's redemption in the first 14 verses that we read. And it's incredible because if you look at the actual text, the way that it was written in the original language in one single sentence. We've kind of broken it up a little bit, but this sort of grammatical device that he uses to sort of distinguish how important this is to start with thanks. And he starts with thanks to God. So then we start our scripture reading. Right there, verse 15 all the way through 23. And Paul does something different there too. As he moves from thanking God to talking directly to the congregation as well. I give thanks for you. And he kind of spells it out a little bit for them as well. He kind of butters them up just a little bit, doesn't he? I have heard of your faith in the Lord Jesus and your love toward all the saints. And for this reason, I do not cease to give thanks for you as I remember you in my prayers. So Paul hears about them. This is a testimony of their faith and their love. And there's not a whole lot of ways to hear. I mean, they don't have Facebook and Twitter and CNN and Fox News and all that back then at all. There is a word that travels, a distinction, a reputation of how close this congregation is and their love and for their faith toward all the saints, and for that reason, I never cease to give thanks for you as I remember you in my prayers. I once had a pastor that came and taught a workshop on stewardship and generosity. And he said, for the first thing that you do as a pastor, in order to allow a church to become more generous, is you thank them. You thank them for all the generosity that they have given, and you thank them for being part of a generous congregation. So if that's true, I'd like to thank you all for your generosity, for everything that you do. But honestly, for what we do as a church, it is so easy to get distracted by all the things that kind of pop up in this world. It is so easy to get pulled apart. It is so easy to focus on everything that goes wrong, for those missed opportunities and those chances. But Paul starts with thank you. And what an incredible thing that is. Because when we look at what this church is about to face, when we look at the hardship, the darkness that is on the horizon for what this church is going to go through, it kind of reminds us of what Jesus prayed in the garden right before he was arrested. Jesus prayed for us. And he prayed for us in an incredible way. He prayed for God to make us one. To make us as close to each other as Jesus is to God. That is an incredible prayer that God himself is praying for us. And he's praying for what we can do. Because everything that's going to pop up, all the distractions, all the rumors, all the persecutions in the church of Ephesus, everything that happens in our congregations and in our cities and in our nation, in our world, all the things that try to convince us that we're moving apart, Paul starts with a thank you. And it seems so easy. And he kind of unpacks it for the rest of those verses. He kind of lays it out in the next 8 verses that follow of what we are thankful for in each other, but what God can do when we are one. What God can do in the kingdom when we are closer with each other and when we are distinguished by our love for one another and our faith to all the saints that we find. Not just the ones that we're comfortable with, not just the ones that we find ourselves bumping up next to, but every saint or child of God that we bump into in this world, to distinguish ourselves by how we love each other. And it's incredible how one of those first steps of how we love each other is saying thank you. Now, we've all had thank yous that sort of rolled off the cuff, maybe ones that didn't mean as much as others, ones that maybe were just kind of socially customary in the moment. But we've also had thank yous that were incredibly deep, that truly blessed us. Moments where somebody came up and told you thank you for something you didn't even know that somebody else noticed, or something that you didn't even know that you did. And how in that moment, that exchange, you can be amazed. You're touched by what God can do, even when you don't know that you're doing it. The incredible reach that the kingdom has. But the acknowledgement, the testimony that can come through a thank you. Now, the other truth of that is sometimes we don't know what's going on in other people's lives. And when we don't get a thank you, sometimes we can use that as an opportunity to sort of pull ourselves away from a relationship with somebody else. Or we can do something kind of gospel, and we can use it as an opportunity to pray for that person, for whatever they're going through, for the circumstances that we're not even sure of yet. Because sometimes you're not going to get a thank you. But all that does for us is show us what God feels like when we don't thank him. So last night, we had a storm kind of pop up in our neighborhood. Y'all kind of had something similar in your neighborhoods, I'm sure. All of a sudden, we were watching some comedy on TV, and it sounded like everything in the world just came flying out our windows. Man, it was just rain, just the wind. Branches and leaves started flying everywhere. So we're scrambling to the back door real quick, trying to get the dogs inside. And all of a sudden, I heard the worst sound I can ever hear in a circumstance with Julia standing right next to me. I hear outside in the rain a kitten mewing. And I think to myself, I'm fixing to get wet. So we go outside, we get some flashlights, and we're looking all around in the middle of this storm and this rain and this wind whipping all around us for what turned out to be a black kitten in the middle of the night, which is not easy to find. And it turned out that our dogs, or at some point, this cat had gotten stuck up in this tree in our backyard. And without even thinking of the logistics of it, Julia was like, well, just go get the ladder. You're getting up a tree. So I climb up in the tree. And mind you, Julia is trying to comfort the cat. I'm trying to not plummet to my death. As I'm grabbing on to slick branches, I don't even think I put shoes on. I think I was barefoot, yeah. Trying to kind of wind my way up these branches to find a black cat sort of contrasted against the black night sky. And I finally see it on the back of a branch, and I reach back, and I grab the back of it. Have y'all ever grabbed a feral cat? It does not end well. I've got cat bites. I've got scratches. I know I'm going to have to go in for rabies shots now. And this cat just goes nuts on my hand. And I finally kind of whip it around a little bit to where I've got it scruffed, and it's just telling me off in the most obscene way that a cat possibly can, as I'm then stuck in the tree wondering how I get down while holding a cat that wants to kill me in the middle of this storm. And us being weird animal people, we just happen to have an empty cat crate in the backyard. You would think this is divine providence. It's not. We just have crates everywhere. And I told Julia to stand at the bottom of the tree with it open, and I'm going to drop the cat into the crate. You can see where this can go wrong. But it doesn't. It works out perfect. I mean, just plunk. She slams it shut. She cuts it, you know, kind of latches the gate. We put it off to the side. We carry it. You know, we change clothes. We get ready and everything. And we kind of set up this nice warm spot in the garage with some towels, some blankets, put some food down, a little litter box. And this cat is just going nuts. And never once did that cat say thank you. I saved its life. And yet I am like the worst thing in the universe to this cat right now. So his thank you looks a lot like some cat bites and some scratches. However, I think the greater lesson is knowing that there was an opportunity to do something for something that needed some help, even if it didn't realize it at the time. But this cat is probably going to be the best that it's ever been cared for in the next couple days. It'll have an opportunity to get some vaccinations. It'll have an opportunity in its life to possibly go to a house that will care for it for the rest of its life. It will never say thank you. But at least in the moment, with a little bit of iodine and peroxide and some vaccinations, we'll all move along and we'll get along with our lives, kind of thing. We don't always get thank yous. God doesn't always get thank yous. But that doesn't stop us from doing work that blesses other people in this life. Just yesterday, we had an opportunity to take an event that had kind of serviced our church very well over the last couple of years and think about how we can take that event and kind of help others outside of our church. So we had pictures with Santa Claus right here in Restore. And part of the opportunity for families in our church to come get some pictures with Santa Claus, we invited foster family groups from Shelby County to come in and to take pictures with Santa as well. And over 40 of those kids were able to come and make a little reindeer bags of food, to make little jingle bell necklaces, to write letters to Santa Claus, to sit on Santa's lap, tell them what they wanted for Christmas, and have a blessing in their life. And sometimes I get sort of distracted by all the stuff that's going on. Over this last week, it's been a long week in a lot of different ways. And yet, yesterday afternoon, about 2 o'clock in the afternoon, our children's minister, Berta, sent me a text. And it was a picture of about 15 of the foster kids sitting with Santa Claus with a great smile on their face and feeling incredibly happy at what Christmas would mean for them. And that makes everything worth it. And every family that came in and had that blessing and left outside these doors said, thank you. And what an incredible, incredible blessing it was. So the thank you that you've been waiting to hear, sometimes it's the one that hasn't been said yet. But also sometimes it's the one that we haven't said yet. So there's always an opportunity to start and to end with a thank you. As the band comes forward, will you bow your heads with me and pray this morning? Almighty and precious God, we do give you thanks. And Lord, we always start with thanks because, Lord, you are working in our lives in a way that we can't even comprehend. That is beyond our imagination in so many ways. You have brought us to this place for a reason that we don't always understand, but Lord, you still do incredible work through us. You could do more, and we could be more faithful, but Lord, show us what that next step is. Don't allow us to get distracted by the frustrations or the disappointments, but allow us to see those as opportunities. Opportunities to take one step further. When we get to those moments, Lord, where we wish we would be noticed more or we wish we would get a thank you, allow us to see those as opportunities to pray and to build a relationship rather than to pull away. Allow us to start with thanks, Lord, because you have given thanks for us, and allow us to give thanks for you and what you are going to do through us. As we pray all these things in Jesus' name, amen. As we kind of close out our worship for the day, it's an opportunity for you to think about who's somebody that you can say thank you for this week. To look somebody in the eye, to shake their hand, to show them and tell them that they've had a difference on your life and you are thankful for them. And use those opportunities to spread some blessings as we go forth into Thanksgiving.